I love that song. It's a beautiful song. Well, I forgot to ask when I got up here earlier, did you guys all have a good Thanksgiving? I trust everybody did. The Rachel's maiden name's Alexander. The Alexander family is large. There were 57 there for Thanksgiving lunch. Four turkeys and a whole bunch of food, and five turkeys including me, I guess. Yeah, and then there were some that were missing that couldn't be there. It was a crazy good time, let me tell you. But it was a good Thanksgiving, but we're glad that you guys are here. And yours was good too. That's awesome. That's great. All right. Well, this morning we are finishing our series on the purpose of Grace Church. We're going to be looking again at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. You'll follow along on the screen. We're looking up the scriptures as I read out of the NIV today. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this sermon. God, we come to you today asking that you would work in our hearts, that we would be open to hearing what you have for us. May today we learn something new that maybe we've never heard before, or be reminded of something that we need to be reminded of through your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would work in us today. Bless this time that we have here to study your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So the sermon title, those of you who have a bulletin there, you can pull out the insert. The sermon title is, I Was Wrong. Now that's kind of a weird sermon title, isn't it? What does that mean, I was wrong? Well, you know, even pastors make mistakes. We're human. And I got to tell you about something in my own life, an understanding that I had where I was wrong. Probably up to, I don't even know if it had been a year ago. Something in the last year, I have had a change in my understanding, really, of the purpose of a church. Why God gave us the local church. When I was a teenager being raised, my parents were church hoppers. They jumped around. I counted up seven different churches we went to as a kid. That's a lot of different churches. Get to meet a lot of different people. That was kind of neat. But they went from church to church to church to church. Well, you grow up in an atmosphere like that, and your understanding is that a church is there to meet whatever need you have. If you don't like what the pastor says or the way he teaches or preaches, then you go to a different church. If there's somebody there who you don't necessarily get along with, you go to a different church. If the leadership you don't really like, then you go to a different church, right? That's what you do. If your needs aren't being met, you go to a different church. So growing up, that was kind of my training, is that a church is here to meet your needs. In college, you know, even going to a Bible school, I'm sure the professors taught different, but being a typical college student, you're there sleeping in class, right? And so you didn't hear what they had to say. And not having a full understanding of that. Even as a pastor, you know, you hear people over and over again, well, the church here, they're not really meeting my needs. They're not giving me what I need. Well, what can we do to help that? You know, you kind of see yourself as really just one more quote-unquote store out there, right? You're just another Walmart, just another Target meeting people's needs. What don't we have that you need, and we'll get it here so that you can come? That's almost a philosophy in some churches. And then I realized that that's not really what a church is about. Within the last year, God through His Spirit has just revealed to me that that's not what a church is. A church is not an entity, really. It doesn't exist to meet our needs. A church is full of people who are here to meet the church's needs. A church is not, as we're going to study here later, it's not a country club where we come in, we pay our dues, and then have all of our needs met that we want. A church is different from that. A church is where we come together as a group of people, each one of us as individuals, here to meet the needs of others, not have our own needs met. And 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 through 11 reflects that, especially beginning down in verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That verse should mean something to us as Grace Church. We want to administer God's grace, don't we? We want to give God's grace. And how do we do that? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. We at Grace Church, we want to be here. We exist for the purpose of making mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We've been talking about that the last number of weeks. How we should pray. How we should love. How we should be hospitable. And now today, how we should serve. Because that's what we're here for. We are here to serve. When you live your life based on, basically in my life, it was a fallacy, it ends up causing trouble sometimes. You end up giving advice that's not necessarily the best advice. You end up doing things that you wish you hadn't done. You know, I'm reminded of a story, a time in my own life. I was a college student looking, I was heading out of town, out of Omaha, and was going to a wedding. I had a friend who was getting married. And it was in a town I'd never been at, kind of a small town. And I'm driving through downtown, had the old brick roads, and it's kind of around the courthouse. And as I'm driving through here, I know the church is around here somewhere. It's got to be around here somewhere, but I'm looking for a brick building in the middle of a whole bunch of brick buildings, okay? And as I'm trying to see where the steeple might be, because it's an old church, you know there's got to be a big steeple, I see out the corner of my eye, I see a red light, and it blinks off. And I'm oh, great, it's a red light, just turned off, I can go through, right? Because you have a red, you have a yellow, and you have a green. So I go on through the intersection, and about a block down, I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a police officer behind me with the cherries on. Uh-oh. I pull over, and he said, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, actually, I have no idea, because I know I wasn't speeding. He said, well, that was a blinking red light you just went through. It was a stop sign. You blew it. I'm like, oh, Craig, are you kidding me? He said, nope, you did. I got a fine out of it. My belief was that it was a red, yellow, green light, and it wasn't, and I got fined for it. I'm hoping today that we don't have people in this church that have the same type of belief that I had about the church. But my belief that the church is here to serve me, and I'm going to act on that. Well, that's not the way it is at all. The church is here so that we can serve it. That's part of being part of the church, is serving. That's what it is. And, you know, it's not like when I got my ticket there, right? You're not going to get fined for this. I'm not going to come to you and fine you $50 for not serving somewhere. Don't worry about it, okay? If you want to give me $50, I'll take it, right? But I'm not going to fine you for it. But God promises rewards for those of us who serve faithfully, doesn't he? For those who serve faithfully, we receive rewards. So we won't get fined per se, but we will lose out on some rewards that God has for us. And I don't want us to lose on any rewards. I don't want to lose any rewards that God has promised. I want to live my life faithfully, so that when I meet my Lord and Savior, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. We as a church, we need to have the attitude of what it means to be a servant. We need to have the attitude of a servant. We need to have the heart of a servant. We need to be servants. There's a guy out there by the name of Tom Rainer. He writes a bunch of books. He's part of the Southern Baptist Convention, but he's written a bunch of books on just church membership. And he did a study a while back on churches that died. There were about 14 churches he did a study on that had just died, all right? They shut their doors, they shuttered the building, they sold it, whatever it was, but the church completely died. And he looked at those churches, and out of those, he came to some conclusions of what a healthy church is not. A healthy church is not, and I've already mentioned this, it's not a country club. It's not a place where you come in and you pay your dues and then you get everything you want out of it. All you have to do is pay the money at the door, pay your monthly fee, whatever it may be, and then you get served. That is not a church. James 4, verse 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. How many churches will that describe? You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. That fits a lot of churches, doesn't it? That really does. A church is not a country club. A healthy church does not have perks for its members. Just because you're a member of Grace Church does not mean you're going to get any special perks. In fact, as a member of a Grace Church, we're going to begin asking things of you And I know a lot of you already are, and you understand that. As a church, God asks things of you. This isn't the leadership that does it. It's not the deacons that does it. It's not me as a pastor that does it. This is what God asks. God asks you as a member to what? Use your gifts and serve. That's God saying that. That's not me saying that. That's not the deacons saying that. That's not the trustees, not Sunday school teachers. It's God saying, look, you have a gift. Use it. And membership does not mean that you will be served. In Mark chapter 9, verse 35, we read, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. It is not about me. In a healthy church, it is not about me. A healthy church is full of individuals where they realize it is not about me. I am not here to be served. I am here to serve. A healthy church is not inward focused or self-serving. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. Jesus made himself a servant to the glory of God the Father. We are to make ourselves a servant to the glory of God our Father. That's what we as Grace Church are to do. Now, I have to admit, this series has not necessarily been easy for me to prepare because it's, frankly, somewhat convicting, isn't it? As we think about what it means to pray, be clear-minded and disciplined so that you can pray. Be loving to one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another. That takes efforts. And now I'm supposed to use a gift that God has given me, and I'm supposed to serve one another. It's easy to have the attitude of entitlement, isn't it? We live in a culture where entitlement is really prevalent within everybody. I deserve this. I deserve that. Burger King, have it your way. Right? I mean, how many times do you read things like that? It's what you want. Whatever you want is what you get, and we will meet your needs. When a church is completely opposite of that, because it's not have it your way. It's God, I want it your way. Even Jesus himself prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We should do no less than that very thing. Thomas Rainer continues on his autopsy of a deceased church, and he writes, a church cannot survive long term where members are focused on their own preferences, such as my music style, my desired length and order of a service, my desired color and design of buildings and rooms, my activities, my programs, my need of ministers, my need of staff. We are to be servants. We are to be obedient. We are to put others first. We are to do whatever it takes to seek the best for others and the church. Chuck Colson writes, he talks about the McChurch mentality. He calls it the McChurch mentality, which is today I want this type of teaching or program, but tomorrow I might want something different. People change pastors, churches, and even denominations as fast as they change banks and grocery stores. And that's true. We see that in today's culture. Now you think, well, it's a little bit harder here in St. Paul because where else would we go? And you know what? To a degree, you're right. Where else would you go? But there are places, and we know people, you guys probably know people, who are finding their church on the radio, on the television, whatever it may be. And why do they do that? Well, because I have a need that's not being met, or have a preference that's not being met. When in reality, we should be asking, well, what need am I not meeting? What am I not doing that I should be doing today for the church? Something that God has called me to do. We are to be servants. 1 Peter 4, again, looking back at that, what's some assumptions we can understand from that? As we look at that verse, verses 10, beginning of verse 10, going through 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. What are some assumptions in there? One, we all have a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but you have a gift. You have an ability given to you from God for the purpose of serving others that can be used for others. You have a gift. You cannot come to me today and say, Pastor Bear, I don't have a gift, because I will deny it using scriptures saying, look, that goes completely against what God's word says. Now you can come to me and say, I don't know what my gift is, and that I might believe. Great. You don't know what it is. Let's find out. There are ways of discovering what your gift is. But you cannot say that you do not have a gift, because God, who is faithful to all, has said that you have a gift. So you have one. Don't sit here and think this message does not apply to you, because it does. You have a gift. And using that gift administers grace to others. At Grace Church, if all of us as individuals began using our gift and administering grace, imagine what that could do for the church, for the community. If we recognize that I have something I can do for the sake of others, and I'm going to do that, and by doing it, you show grace. What would that be like for this community? What would that be like for our church if we're more focused on serving someone else than we are upon receiving? What grace is. God has given you a gift, and using that gift gives God glory. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. And look at what he did. Through Christ's sacrifice, through his servant attitude, we can now have a right relationship with God. And I am not Christ. I cannot save anybody, but I can lead them to Christ through using my gift. You can lead them to Christ through using your gift. You can do these things. When you serve like Jesus served, you can bring people to God. We should do these things. This isn't something, again, that I'm just standing in front of you making up as I go. It's right here in the scriptures. Do you believe God's word to be true? Do you believe it, people? When we're teaching kids and I hold this book up, I say, kids, what is this book? And they say, well, it's the Bible. Who gave us the Bible? Well, God did. Whose words are these written in the Bible? They're God's words. Can God tell a lie? No. Titus 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. We know this is true. So if these are God's words and God cannot tell a lie, can I trust everything I read in this book? Yes. Even if I don't like it, can I trust it? Yes. Even if somebody else disagrees with it, should I still trust it? Yes. What if it asks me to do something I don't want to do? Can I ignore that? Well, at your own peril. Right? Of course you can ignore it. God gives you free will. But at Grace Church, we don't want to ignore it. We don't want to pretend it's not there. God has said, you have a gift. God has commanded you to use that gift to serve others so that he can be glorified. If you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, I haven't done anything. Well, great, congratulations. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Beginning today, you can begin doing something. Others of you have gifts and you've been using them, and that's great. That is awesome. Don't ever get to a point in your life where you think you're no longer worthy. Where you think you can't do it anymore, because God has something for all of us, regardless of our age. Those children today, age 3, 4, 9, that was a blessing to me. Wasn't it to you guys? He said that you listened to them sing, and that was awesome. We gave them a place to serve. Don't think that you don't have a place, because you do. You have a gift, and God can use you. Are you willing to think like a servant? Are you willing to consider yourself a servant? So what is a servant? What is the attitude of a servant? As we understand this, what is a servant? Well, in the New Testament, doulos, it's a Greek word for slave, is frequently used to designate a master slave, one bound to him, and also a follower of Christ. The term points to a relation of absolute dependence, which the master and the servant stand on opposite sides. The former, that is the master, having a full claim, and the latter, that is the servant, having a full commitment. The servant can exercise no will or initiative on his or her own. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he is now your master, and you are his bondslave, his servant. Your will is to serve him and be obedient to him. And he has not made it unclear what we should do. In fact, he's made it very clear what we should do. Sometimes we want to ignore it because it takes work and it's difficult. Agreed. Yes, I'm there. It does not change the reality. A servant recognizes, when you have the attitude of a servant, you're going to recognize that others are more important than you are. Isn't that a servant? When you think about what a servant was in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, what's a servant? A servant recognizes that I am here to serve others. I am not here to be served. I am here to serve others. Others are more important than I am. That's what a servant is. They live their life based on the fact that others are more important than I am. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. We're all peers here. And we're all peers given the same job of serving one another. None of us here are any better than anybody else. Positions are different. That's correct. Positions are different, but that does not mean the people filling those positions are any better than anybody else. As your pastor, I'm no better than anybody else here in this church. I have a different position, but I'm no better than any of you. I still make mistakes. I still have room to grow in my own spiritual life. Please do not ask my wife what areas those might be. That was a joke. You can laugh. All right. We all have areas to grow, don't we? But all of us, including me as a pastor, are here to serve one another in whatever way that means. If somebody gets sick and the floors need vacuumed, I as a pastor should be just as willing to step up as anybody else. If walls need painted, I should be just as willing to do that as anybody. If somebody needs visit in the hospital, I should be just as willing to do that as anybody else. Just as you should be just as willing to do that as anybody else. All of us have a gift. We've all been called to serve. Will we recognize that others are more important than we are? And here's the deal. This is a tough one for me. Here's another attitude of a servant. Regardless of how a servant is treated, his task does not change. Think about that for just a minute. If you're a servant or a slave, consider yourself a slave, regardless of how we're treated, does our task change? No. Not at all. People can throw it right back in your face. They can get angry. They can beat you. They can curse you, whatever it is. And your task, your role does not change. And that's where it gets hard, doesn't it? And that is not easy. But that's the reality. Your task does not change regardless of how people treat you. People within the church, people within the community, within your family, whomever it may be, your role, your task does not change. That's the attitude of a servant. Others are more important than you are, and your role does not change regardless of how you are treated. In Romans chapter 12 again, beginning at verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our task does not change, regardless of who we're ministering to, whether it's friends or enemies. our task is the same. Regardless of how we're treated, we are still supposed to be servants, slaves to Christ. The saying, what would Jesus do? And after a while, you think, well, that's kind of a corny little thing, but is it? The truth of that hasn't changed. And in our interactions with the community, with the church, we should always be thinking, what would Jesus do here? What would Jesus do? You have been called to be a servant. Will you be obedient to what God wants for you? The attitude of a servant. Now, what are the rights of a servant? Do you guys ever think about that? See, here at a church, it's so easy to come in and say, well, Pastor Bear, I'm a member here. I've been here for years and years and years. I've been here since before you were born. And some of you are probably right. I get my own pew. I paid for that pew. Congratulations. You still don't have any rights because you're a servant. What rights do a servant have? What rights did slaves have in the New Testament? They didn't have any. They didn't have any rights. They could not make any demands upon anyone for anything. They were there to serve. We as a church must be filled with individuals who are here to serve. Regardless of our preferences, regardless of what we want to see, we're here to serve. The music may not be what you want. The preaching may not be what you want. The people you sit next to may not be who you want to sit next to. They may treat you in ways that you don't like. The carpet color may be wrong. The classrooms may be too small. It may be too cold. It may be too hot. The food may be too sweet. I don't know. There's always something that you wish was different. But regardless of that, you have to remember, you have no individual rights as a servant of Christ. We are here to serve. We have the right to be called His children. But as His children, we are to be obedient to Him. And by being obedient to Him, we're placing others at a greater priority than ourselves. We're placing other wants before our wants. We are giving sacrificially of ourselves, of our time, of our resources, because I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus Christ did, and I want to be like Christ. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to recognize that I have no rights. But you know what? As a servant, I do have a reward. The rewards of a servant. Isn't it a reward to see your master honored? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. As a servant, we do receive rewards. One of those rewards is to see our master honored, to see Him praised, to see Him glorified. That is the reward of us as a servant of Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry writes, he said, the rule is that whatever gift, ordinary or extraordinary, whatever power, ability, or capacity of doing good is given to us, we should minister or do service with the same one to another, accounting ourselves not masters, but only stewards of the manifold grace or the various gifts of God. We should learn, number one, whatever ability we have of doing good, we must own it to be the gift of God and ascribe it to His grace. We should learn, number two, whatever gifts we have received, we ought to look upon them as received for the use one of another. We must not assume them to ourselves, nor hide them in a napkin, but do service with them to another in the best manner we are able. And we are to learn, number three, in receiving and using the manifold gifts of God, we must look upon ourselves as stewards only and act accordingly. The talents we are entrusted with are our Lord's goods, and we must be employed as He directs. It is required in a steward that he be found faithful. A reward for a servant is to be found faithful. In Matthew 25:14, through 29. Matthew 25:14 through 29. We read the passage of the ruler who left his three servants in charge of various talents. One he gave five, one he gave two, and one servant he gave one set of talents. Now, this is a stewardship passage, yes. But our gifts are also a stewardship that God has given us. The use of our gifts is also something God has given us that He wants us to use for His glory. Verse 19 in Matthew 25. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the rest of that passage, but I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servants. In your own time, when you get home, read the rest of that, because there's one servant that did not get to hear that. He lost out on rewards. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want my master to be honored, and when I meet my master face to face and settle accounts with him, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's right. Good and faithful servant. And that's what all of us should want to hear. I don't want to be somebody that sucks the life out of a church. I want to be somebody that puts life in a church. Some of us feed life like a water hose, quickly. Some of us are more like an IV, a drip. Do you know what? All of us should be feeding something into the church. It doesn't matter how you rate your gift. God has given you a gift to use. And you may look and say, well, Pastor, it's just a small gift. That's fine. Ask Junior right now how small that IV is to him. It's a very important thing. Others of you, you may have a huge gift. You may be like a fire hose on a house that's on fire, right? You may be gushing out a lot. But if you're not using it, you're not doing any good. You have a gift. Do you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? A servant wants to be praised for a job well done. And finally, a servant wants to be cared for and can be cared for by his master. That is a reward. Going on in Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Take your inheritance. That is the reward of a servant. We have an inheritance waiting for us who are good and faithful servants. And that is my reward that I'm working for. Have you considered that in your life? You also have a reward you are working for. A reward for the good and faithful servants of this world. We are to serve. We are to use the gifts that God has given us. And we are to serve for the glory of God. Grace Church is not here to meet your individual needs. Grace Church is here for a place for you to serve. Grace Church cannot grow unless we serve. This isn't something just for me as your pastor. It's not something just for the deacons or the trustees or the Sunday school teachers. It's something for all of us. All of us have a place in Grace Church. And if all of us are serving, Grace Church will grow. Grace Church will become mature followers of Jesus Christ so that we can help others become mature followers of Jesus Christ. We should pray. We should love. We should be hospitable. And we should serve. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be obedient to your master, to your spiritual father, to Christ himself? And will you choose to obey his word? Not because Pastor Bear stood up in front of you and said something special that hit your heart. No, but because it was God saying it. Will you do that? I can't answer the question. It's one each of us as individuals have to face. And maybe this isn't your home church you're visiting today. But what about your home church? Are you serving there? Are you doing something for them? Are you serving where God has placed you? Are you a servant? God, we come to you today thinking that, Lord, this is hard. Being a Christian is, on one hand, the most rewarding thing we've ever had in our lives. Just knowing that we can spend eternity in heaven with you. And at the same time, as a Christian, you have asked certain things of us. Not because it affects our salvation, but it does affect our reward. And Lord, today I pray for the strength that we're going to need as individuals to obey you. Give us the strength that we're going to need, Lord. Help us as we leave this place today. Help us to have the attitude of a servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.